When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she's a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and another 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he forgave the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt to forgiven." "You judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace."
Well, the crazy, crazy things that people do for love. There are stories out there, I tell you. I was reading the other day about a guy who took all his braces off with nail clippers because he thought the girl he's going to go on a date with would find that more attractive. Being brace-free, apparently she didn't even care. But, you know, all the Valentine stories you can read about, you know, sunset picnic on a mountaintop, message written on the sand at the beach, all these stories of infatuation and love. Many of us have been there. I know people who've changed their diet because of love. I know people who've got a tattoo because of love. I know people who've changed countries, continents, because of love. Now, in this series, little series we're doing, Fresh Start with God, we do come to this moment where someone meets Jesus. But today's about this crazy thing this person, this woman does because of her love for Jesus. It's crazy, it's passionate, it's kind of weird, it's shocking, but it says something. I want to say this, Christian faith and passionate love are actually not that far apart. Now, let's dive into this passage together and let's start by setting the scene. The scene involves a dinner party, another dinner party for Jesus. He's always eating at someone's house. But let's start with verse 34. Have a look at the standard criticism that's being leveled at Jesus. What says there of Jesus, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. So the criticism of Jesus sets the scene for what we're about to see. And this criticism talks, well, this criticism, I mean, really, it is a punch with no power. Because this attempt at defaming Jesus is both completely false and, funny enough, also completely true. It's completely false because Jesus is not a glutton and a drunkard. This is just mud. This is just lies and slander. The authorities and the religious leaders and moral police are just throwing out there, hoping some of it will stick. But what's completely true is the bit about Jesus being a friend of tax collectors and sinners. For this part of the insult, this is something that Jesus would take as a compliment. Jesus likes those who the moral religious authorities don't. Jesus likes, really enjoys hanging out with the people the religious morality leaders find completely unworthy. So that's just a bit of background. Let's actually move closer to the moment now of this dinner party. Verse 36. What's interesting about this moment is that one of the religious leaders, the morality defenders, a Pharisee, that is the person who invites Jesus over to his place for dinner. And we should ask, well, why is this guy doing this? Maybe he wants to prove that Jesus is a glutton and a drunkard. Expose him. Let's get Jesus hammered, and then all his credibility will be gone. Or maybe this Pharisee is more genuine than that. He wants to find out more. Maybe it's like, yeah, I know he's got that reputation, but look, have you heard this guy? Have you heard what he's teaching? Have you seen what he's done? It's pretty amazing. Let's check him out further. Let's check him out. Either way, Jesus is there at his house, and we're about to meet this woman whose crazy act of love takes this dinner party in a completely different direction. We're getting closer to the moment. Actually, just a little bit more setting of the scene. Have a look. Read with me verse 36. Verse 36, where it says there, when one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. Again, just a little bit of background here, but this is mealtime in the Middle East, okay? Got to think differently to how we might have a meal, table and chairs and cutlery. See, if you cut down your table legs in half, you're getting a little bit closer to the way it would have been. People didn't sit on chairs. You'd lay on the ground amongst the rugs and the cushions, leaning on your left elbow. So if you're right-handed, then you take the food from the table, and you're probably mostly relating to the people on the right of you because that's the way you're leaning down. And basically everyone's feet's out the back there on their bare feet. Something else we should realize, dinner parties like this were quite open affairs. Jewish wealthy homes with their dinner parties and honored guests were quite public community moments. All sorts of people would come and go. So you'd have the close friends and family, like in the inner circle around the table, but you'd also have other people sort of in and out, around about, in and around. They're also there to check out what's going on. So then we get to the moment involving the woman with her act of crazy, scandalous love, which totally busts open this dinner party. Let's read again, verse 37, where it says, a woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. We don't know her name. We don't know anything she says. All we know is what she does. And her background is she's infamous in that town. It says she lived a sinful life. Most people think it's a euphemism for being a prostitute or some sexually promiscuous, immoral life. Me thinks with the hypocrisy going on in that dinner party, and let's say there is plenty of hypocrisy going on, I wonder, did certain men at that house know of her sinful life for a reason? But let's see what this woman does. She comes with an alabaster jar of perfume. If you don't know, alabaster is this pale stone rock. It's very soft. It's good for carving out sculptures and vases and perfume bottles. So she might not have actually bought in this large jar. She might have actually bought in just a small alabaster jar of personal perfume that many women would have. Now, you won't be surprised that I had to look this up at the Sephora website, but this is like her jar of Gucci Beauty, her Goldfields and Banks, her Le Labo Santal 33. See, I know stuff now. But she enters the realm of these men, these religious morality leaders, and she comes to Jesus with her perfume. With what takes place, don't you think all the dinner party chit-chat just stops? Everyone's kind of shocked at what they're seeing. People don't know where to look. Verse 38, she's standing beside Jesus. She's weeping. She's crying. She's overcome with some emotion. Her face is so close to Jesus' body. Her tears are falling on Jesus' feet. It's very quiet. She takes her hair. There's no towel. There's no cloth. She takes her own hair and wipes his feet. She's kissing his feet. She takes her alabaster jar and pours perfume over his feet. Do you get that the dinner party has lost all its party vibes? Make no mistake, what she's doing is shocking. It's very intimate. It's the closeness of their bodies. It would have probably been seen as something sensual. She's kissing a man's feet. You know, that man's, in that culture, a woman on her wedding day would put up her hair, and that would be the last time her hair would ever be down in public. Only her hair down for her husband. But this woman, there with her hair down for Jesus, this is so intimate. For those who are there, probably so unseemly, so inappropriate. You know, like us, I imagine they want to look, but they don't want to look. We can ask ourselves, why is she doing this? What's gotten into her? Well, the answer comes with Jesus. But I think, you know, we can't help but just pick up something even just as we go. I mean, isn't it her devotion? Isn't it her adoration? She comes to realize something about Jesus, that he is so special. He is so special to her. All those men around, but she knows something about this man, the friend of tax collectors and sinners. She has encountered Jesus somehow, somewhere. We don't know the backstory. Makes it all the more strange. You know, she's pouring out her tears. She's pouring out this perfume. She's pouring out her love. And let's keep going. In verse 39, this Pharisee who invited Jesus complains. This woman, she spoiled the party. But more than that, he now thinks he has Jesus' measure. This woman exposing herself so shockingly has exposed Jesus, really, according to him. Have a look at verse 39, where he says there, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. And notice it says there, he said to himself. This is his private thought. So Jesus is reading his mind. So Jesus answers him, Simon, we learn his name for the first time. Simon, I've something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. And then Jesus gives a story that exposes the heart of this religious, moral, hard-hearted, shallow, judgmental, hypocritical teacher who thinks he knows Jesus, knows God, knows what's required of God, but he's wrong. And Jesus gives the story there. Verse 41, where he says, two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Now, you know, I suspect Simon the Pharisee knows about money lending. I mean, he's a wealthy guy who can put on dinner parties and have all his friends around. And in Jesus' story, one owed back 500 denarii. Now, a denarii was a day's wages. It's a huge amount of money in that culture. The other guy owed back 50 denarii. Again, that's a huge amount of money in that culture. 50 days worth of wages. And both of them are in a hole of a debt that they cannot pay back. And I'm just going to give the answer that Jesus gives in verse 47 for what this story is about. He says it in verse 47. Jesus in this story is not talking about financial debt that can be forgiven, but the spiritual debt that can be forgiven. It's about a person who brings their sin before God. It's about how we, each of us in our life, it's generally our ways, our life, our rules, our comfort, our security, our self-justifying version of what we want and our versions of right and wrong. Whether you're a moral leader or a prostitute, everybody, we all sin, we're all sinners. So for this woman, she gets it. Jesus is saying, she gets me. She knows what it means to have her debt forgiven. Jesus wants to nail home this story to Simon. Now, which of them will love him more? Jesus asks. Simon says, I suppose. You suppose now, Simon, do you? You suppose. I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven, he's not giving up his pride easily. He's not keen at all to let this sinful woman be his teacher. And from verse 44, Jesus totally turns the table on this Pharisee. Simon had this shame for this woman, but this unseemly, out-of-place woman puts the shame on him. I mean, have a look at from verse 44 where it says, "Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, 'Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little.'" You know, Simon puts on this dinner party for Jesus, but it looks more like it's really more to show up Jesus or to show off Jesus. He didn't do what was good hospitality in that culture, was not giving honor to Jesus, but this woman, this outsider, sinful woman, water for his feet with her tears, wiping her feet with her hair, kissing and perfuming Jesus. It's this outpouring of her love where Jesus said, "I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown." And look, we need to be clear here. The extent of her outrageous, over-the-top, crazy love does not deserve Jesus' forgiveness. You know, when Jesus states there, declares there, verse 48, what's already true, your sins are forgiven. Her love for Jesus does not deserve Jesus' forgiveness. We cannot deserve Jesus' forgiveness. Her love is to express and show forth that she is forgiven. You know, this contrast between the sinful, this woman with a sinful life and this outraged, offended, respectable, moral leader is a lesson for all of us. You know, remember they have this insult for Jesus, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Cop that, Jesus. Well, yeah, that's wonderfully true. He hung out with sinners, more than happy to have meals with sinners, more than happy to be touched by sinners. And he died for sinners. Jesus poured out his love for sinners. I mean, if the Pharisees thinks it's unseemly for this notorious woman to take down her hair and cry and kiss and perfume Jesus' feet, you know, if they recoil at such this outrageous, scandalous, crazy act of love, it's no wonder they'll recoil at Jesus at the cross. Who was naked, who was this thing of rejection and shame, who was scorned with all the crowd around him, nails driven through his hands and feet, but he bore our sin for us. There are so many passages, you know, many of you know there's so many passages about Jesus' love for us. And here's just a few from the Apostle Paul, like where it says, "Just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God," from Ephesians 5 verse 2. Or, "I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." You know, the Pharisee and his mates, they're so self-assured in their morality, but they miss out on the love of God in Jesus. You know, if we put aside our delusion of goodness and righteousness compared to the sin of others and come to Jesus humbly and ready and trust in his love for us at the cross, that he deals with our sin, yeah, we get God's forgiveness. We get brought into the loving embrace of God, forever children of the King. You know, we are doing Hope Explored at the moment on Friday nights. We just had our second night. And it's a really great series. And there's a line in that series that goes, "With Jesus, we offer nothing so that we can gain everything." That's this woman at Jesus' feet. That's why she loves Jesus so much. Got to say, Christians are those who love Jesus, who are passionate about Jesus. Look, we're not going to be crying all the time, every moment of our day in this emotion, you know, heightened emotional state. But this woman does show us something, that, you know, that she's so thankful, she's so moved, she's so not embarrassed about what others think of her, that now that she has Jesus. That is the Christian life to live, isn't it? That we're not embarrassed that with whatever people think of us, because we have Jesus. That this love and devotion that we have for Jesus is at the center of our lives. That people will think, that's crazy, that's a bit over the top. But that's okay. Yet there's so much to be said about this passage. In verse 49, the people at the dinner party, not only are they offended by the woman, they're offended by Jesus. They say, who is this who can even forgive sins? I mean, that's a good question to ask. You know, who's Jesus to forgive sins? Everyone should ask that question. But in this case, their question is already sort of preloaded with scorn and rejection of Jesus, their pride, their complete lack of self-awareness of their own sin. But I just want us to go to verse 50 and see something there. It says, then Jesus said to the woman, verse 50, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. It's an amazing word from Jesus to this woman. At this Pharisee's house, there's the stairs. I imagine they're pointing fingers. You know, what is this woman doing? Does she have no shame? Everyone is stirred up. I think there's more gossip fodder for sure. And yet Jesus says, go in peace. Go in peace. It's astounding. Let's just think about that. A type of peace that's completely at a different level. A type of peace that's not tied to what people think of her. I mean, that's incredible. That her heart can be such stilled. Her heart can be at such rest. A type of peace that doesn't care about the murmurs and the whispers and the reputation. A peace that's not about her history. Isn't this amazing? That God is saying to her, no, go away and have peace. A peace that's above and beyond a typical dinner party chit-chat. I know, what do we like to talk about at parties? Talk about your job, talk about our profession, you know, what you've done on your holidays. Oh, you've got kids, let's talk about our kids. You're on a boat, okay, let's talk about your boat. We're always trying to find a way to sort of find our place and fit in. This woman did not fit in at all, but Jesus says, go in peace. Her identity is not in what she has and what she owns, who she knows, what others thinks of her. It's all about now what Jesus thinks of her. She has God's love. She has God's forgiveness. She can go in peace. It's incredible. There is a promise here for us that we need to hold on to and keep holding on to. You know, church, to have this peace ourselves, that Jesus forgives us, brings us into relationship with God. Sometimes life is not very peaceful. Let's face it. Think about your week you've just had. But it's true. To be made whole and restored and forgiven by God because of Jesus, so that we have peace. It's a peace deeper than our circumstances. It's a peace that nothing can take away. That Jesus is a friend of sinners. That Jesus is our friend. That you can say, yes, Jesus is my friend. Because he came and he died for me. He poured out his love for me. And so that I can love him. He is the one who gives us peace. I'm going to pray. I invite you to pray with me. Let's do that. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment that Luke records for us, this moment between Jesus and this woman, how in the moment of this party, everything focuses in and slows down in this moment of love. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for the love of Jesus as he poured out his life for us at the cross. Thank you that forgiveness is ours as a gift. The forgiveness flows to us at the cost of Jesus' own blood. Thank you that Jesus is a friend of sinners. He's our friend. And Father, as we behold more and more of what Jesus has done for us, yeah, may we live lives of love and help us to know this peace you give us. In Jesus' name, amen.